Okay, there you go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you this morning.
Good morning.
Are you glad that they said, somebody said, let's go to the house of the Lord today?
Yes.
Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Every day you get up, the house of the Lord gets up.
Yes.
Because you're in. We're the house of the Lord.
Man.
But we come here to be with the rest of the houses. Like Monopoly, right? Get enough of us, we got a hotel, amen. Come on, we're supposed to be able to laugh and be ourselves.
Yes.
Amen. You ready? Let's stand to our feet and let's do our proclamation, because we don't just come here to hang out because it's a good thing. We actually come here making a statement.
Yes.
And our statement reads as follows. We are here to proclaim the good news that Jesus is the King who
pre-existed without the Son, was sent by died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, appeared to many witnesses, is enthroned at the right hand of God as the ruling Christ, has sent the Holy Spirit to his people to effect his rule, and will come again as final judge to rule.
Amen. Do you believe those things?
Amen. Yes.
Do you believe those things?
Yes.
That's why we come here. Because this is true. I'm glad he got it. It's so good to have a brother with us today. Amen.
Amen.
Fighting my battles.
He got us on the feet. Start making me think of my stuff. Amen. Our reading today is found in Psalm chapter 62.
All right.
The 5th through 8th verses. New Living Translation. Let us read it together.
Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken.
Yes.
My victory and honor come from God alone.
Yes.
He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me.
Yes.
Oh, my people, trust in Him at all times. Pour out your heart to Him, for God is our refuge.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, this morning we thank you.
Yes.
We echo the psalmist when he says, God is our refuge.
Yes.
And that we should praise you and rest in you and talk to you. We thank you because you are our fortress.
Yes.
We are surrounded by you.
Yes.
And while we're in your fortress, in your care, Father, help us to look to each other and realize that we all on the same side.
Yes.
We all serve the same God.
Yes.
And that we are to be there together to fight our battles.
Yes. Right.
We don't have to fight them alone.
Yes.
We thank you because it's only possible because of Jesus, and he's the only reason we show up today.
Yes.
It's the only reason that we can call you Father and ask you and seek you and do anything with you. Lord, be exalted. Holy Spirit, have your way.
Yes.
Breathe on your servant as he brings the bread of life to us, and let us eat and feast knowing that we have been in your presence.
Amen.
For it's in his name we pray.
Amen.
Yes, we got a foundation. Our foundation is not us, our bank accounts, our governments, our families, our ethnicity, none of that, our country. Our foundation is Jesus.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Good morning, runner for Christ.
Good morning.
I am your mid-morning announcer, Mr.
That's
John
right. Oakley.
By the way, the pastor's favorite nephew. Good morning, all. These are the announcements, and they read as follows. No Monday Bible class. It has been moved to Wednesday night at 6 p.m. Tuesday, 4 p.m. training day, Minister Richard Overall will facilitate. Friday at 7 p.m., bring back the family. Deaconess Kathy Clyburn will be the host, Blog Talk Radio. Saturday at 9 a.m., church school with Assistant Pastor Janice Tate, teacher. Sheila, I'm kind of confused here. Things that you need will be on this table for a discussion on Saturday. Prayers go out to the mothers, Mother Irma, Mother Cheryl, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Elder Joseph Stevens, his wife Cheryl is in the hospital. Deaconess Crystal Crump, Doris Gaither, Deaconess Nicole Seabrooks, and Nico Gaston, Keela Freeman, having surgery next month. Please keep her in our prayers. Darius Freeman, Ed Johnson, and caregiver. Also, bereaved families, keep the Cooper family in your prayers. Brittany, July's birthdays for July. That's how I got it. You guys have a blessed day. Get a feeding off of this word this morning and enjoy your week after this is over.
Amen.
It is time for offerings. You're going to get your envelopes together. And our deacons during this next song will be passing the basket. So, y'all can stand. I know it's good exercise. It gets you up and down. So if you're tired today, guess what you can do? The arms to the left, relax. Never give up. Never get tired. You never will. No matter what you know, no matter how much weight you put on it, you won't bust off. You won't bend.
What a blessed day. Part of the body, and they don't want to take a chance.
So we definitely need to pray for that. And of course, everybody on the list, some people added. Remember Kathy Tigney and the passing of her mother in the Church of Resurrection. That means their numbers have even gone down.
Wow.
So just be mindful of that and each other. And it's summertime. We've seen in this last week some heinous stuff happened for children.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And it just reminds us that we are the adults. We are the ones who have a responsibility to look out for them in every way. So before we judge and criticize all the folks involved in the foolishness, ask yourself, what can you do? And this is one of the main things we can do. We can pray. Because we're not talking to the air or the universe and hoping something new. We're talking to the King of Kings.
Yes.
Who has all power in his hand.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thank you for being the creator of the universe. Thank you for being the Alpha and Omega, Lord. And we ask that you begin to shine your light bright on us, Lord, so we begin to continually see that every day. We thank you for the refuge that you give us, Lord. We thank you for the anchor, Lord. We thank you for the sacrifice, Lord. But we ask that you bring accountability to our attention when it comes to what we can do for others now, Lord. We're interceding for those children, Lord, for those people on the prayer list, Lord. We're interceding for ourselves, Jesus, but we're asking that you allow us to create unity within ourselves so that we don't fall short. Thank you again for every blessing that you give us on a daily basis, yes. Lord. But those special blessings, Lord, allow us to stop to say thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for allowing us to have breath in our lungs, Lord, but allow us to be quiet so we can hear you. Thank you for allowing us to see, Lord, but let us use those eyes to read our Bible so that we are held accountable to you, Lord. Thank you again for everything that you give us, but also hold us responsible for the things that we're supposed to do for you.
Yes.
We ask that you again bless everyone on the prayer list, Lord, but allow us to understand what our responsibility is to show you to that person. Lord, there's not only adults on that list, there's a child on that list, Lord, and we ask that you wrap her completely, completely in you, so that everything around her does not consume her, Lord. And we ask that you use that same wrapping to wrap the adults in the room and the adults that's connected to Run for Christ Ministries, Lord. And we ask that you just bless us with an ear to hear you. Thank you again for what you do, again for our daily lives, Lord. And we ask that you bless our nation as we continue to shift in whichever way they like to. But as they shift, Lord, allow us to stay strong and stand firm on your foundation. Allow us to not be conformed by the world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds and your word, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you for the opportunity that you give us on a daily basis that we take for granted when we don't use that time for you. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for that sea of forgiveness where you send all of our shame and our guilt, Lord.
Okay.
And thank you again for that sacrifice that wiped our slates clean. And allow us to use that clean slate to get bring more people to the kingdom. Bless our hearts, Lord. Anybody that's grieving and sorrowful, Lord, and heavy and just depressed, Lord, and down, bless them with a special anointing. So they understand where you are and how you got them there.
Yes.
And if they got them there by themselves, Lord, just pick them up and put them back where they're supposed to be. Thank you again for just all of the things. You can go on for days, Lord, just creation and the trees and the birds and all of the evidence of you in nature. And allow us to again be standing strong on your foundation, Lord, as days begin to get trying and we get weary, Lord, and we get tired and we get sick of being a bigger person, Lord. Allow us to understand what the goal is. Bless the pastor as he brings a word and allow the Holy Spirit to just pour out from the fountain of life directly into us, Lord. And we thank you for the 20 years that we've been with this person.
Yes.
We thank you for his steadfastness, Lord. And we thank you for his feet being grounded in a foundation. And his influence for us to be grounded in a foundation. Thank you for this being a Bible-built church, Lord. And we ask that you continue to flood our gates with your favor. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
For the Lord our God is mighty.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I am Sister Deaconess Rebecca Johnson.
All right. Hi.
And I rejoice with those who said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord.
Amen.
That's Psalms 122, verse 1. First, let me tell you how much I love Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. A church where you come as you are, but you don't stay as you are.
Amen.
All right. Nice.
A church where classes are recorded online and free, and services are short. I'm pleased to introduce our shepherd, Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, who is an obedient servant of the Lord and has prepared a feast for the nourishment of our inner man.
Yes.
He will be continuing a sermon series titled 1 Corinthians Part 9. The text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 through 18. So that's 1 Corinthians chapter number 9, verse 13 through 18, and it reads as follows. Don't you realize that those who work in the temple get their meals from the offerings brought to the temple? And those who serve at the altar get a share of the sacrificial offerings. In the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Yet I have never used any of these rights, and I'm not writing this to suggest that I want to start now. In fact, I would rather die than lose my right to boast about preaching without charge.
Ooh, right.
Yet, preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news. If I were doing this on my own initiative, I would deserve payment. But I have no choice. For God has given me this sacred trust.
Okay.
What then is my pay? It is the opportunity to preach the good news without charging anyone. That's why I never demand my rights when I preach the good news.
Amen.
So repeat after me. Pastor O.
Pastor O.
Break it down for us.
Break it down for us. Yeah. Amen. I said,
I'm telling you, them Mackies, I'm telling you, you know, you gotta be cool though, because it's a gang of them, you know what I'm saying? Look at all that blue back there, them Crips, amen.
Holy Crips.
Amen. Amen. And me and Deacon Tate, we bloods, right? Let me clear my throat. Come on, y'all, let's pray. Oh, then I can't touch that.
You got a guest, remember?
Oh, hey, my man, I love to ask you, how you doing?
Doing good.
Man, I meant to ask you, what's your name? Amen.
Brian.
Brian, what's happening? Thanks for listening, Brian. You know Eric, right? We sorry about that. We're sorry. We trying, this church is learning and doing. We working on it, right? Amen. You heard the altar caller, right? This is a church where we working on people, yeah. You know, that's not our fault. He came here like that. When we got him, we found him outside the church in the basket. We a big basket. Amen. Cliff, what's up? Let's pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for these days that you give us to come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, because Lord, we all go through it. You put us through the hills and the valleys every single week. But Father, every time we are able to come back here and still give you a hearty praise, that will be real, man. That nothing he did all week long was able to stop us from bringing you a hearty amen and a hearty hallelujah, giving you the highest praise.
Yes. Yeah.
Father, let this word find its way into your people's heart and let it find its way into their feet, into their hands,
and into everything that they do, that people might not see them, but see you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Repeat after me, say, Lord, bless these ears.
Lord, bless these ears.
So they hear your word today.
So they hear your word today.
And bless my heart.
And bless my heart.
That your word,
that your word
finds space today.
Finds space today.
Because I acknowledge to you
that
my ways and thoughts
are
not like yours. But I'm here today
to
be transformed. Change the way I think.
According to your word.
I can always know your good,
reason,
and perfect will
for my life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
I want to thank Deaconess Rebecca Johnson for taking the job of being my introducer. I tried it myself, got fired real quick. Amen. You know, Jesus had me to preach my sermon last week or something 15 times. And then he asked me, what's missing? I said, nothing. I said everything you told me to say. He said, well, how many times did you introduce yourself?
Oh.
Yeah, we had to go through the whole thing. He starts at the beginning all the way to the end, and 15 tries, John. I ain't even come close. So I got fired, and I was told to immediately contact Rebecca and see if she would do it, and she said, yes, y'all know how she is. Amen. With me, it's always, no, never. Amen. Praise God.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you, Rebecca, for it. Amen, because they have to go through something, because Jesus will usually say something, do something through them that'll calm me down, because I'd be a nervous wreck before I get up here. And so he always finds a way to cheer me, to calm me down. He'll say something, it'll click, and then I'm here. Amen?
All right.
Now, we left off last week in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We had gone through 1 through 6. 1 through 6, this is what the lady Chloe, remember her?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we ain't gonna call her a snitch, but she just visited their church. She must have stayed for a week or so. And she saw the folk in church and outside of church. And they had some problems that she thought, Paul, I ain't trying to snitch on nobody. I ain't aiding. But your people over there in Corinth, I think you need to go visit them, write them a letter, send them a book, do something. Okay, because in chapter 1, they were divided. In chapter 2, they didn't understand where the power came from. It was the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3, they were told they were infants. They had been Christians for 5 years, but they're still baby-like. In chapter 4, this is how you should respond to us. In chapter 6, they was taking each other to court like pagans and suing each other. Nobody among them had brains enough, Christian brains enough to settle the issues, right? And then we came to chapter 7, where he started to teach them how to be married Christians. Christian marriage. We can't do it like the world does. So he basically spoke to them. He spoke to the married couples and told them the responsibilities they have in marriage. And then he spoke to the single people. Like, y'all need to, you know, like Dr. Tony Evans say, when it comes to marriage, you got two groups, right? Y'all know what them groups are. They're like flies at a restaurant. You got some flies on the inside because, you know, if it ain't the right restaurant, it's hot as fire in there and they trying to get out. You ever been in one of those? You ever go up to a shrimp or business?
Yeah.
And when the air ain't working?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you better call your order in. Because when you get up there, boy, you going into a sauna, okay? Amen. So, amen. Amen. So some trying to get in, and then there's those who are trying to get out. And neither side, the flies on the outside, not like, why y'all trying to get out? And the flies on the inside, not saying, why y'all trying to get in? They don't even say nothing. They just let it happen. Amen. So Paul talked to them about the importance of glorifying God in your marriage. That's what you want to do. It's all about God. Verse 21, Ephesians chapter 5, settles the issue, right? Out of reverence for Jesus Christ, do what? Submit to one another. Do it for Jesus. Because see, sometimes marriage can get to the place where, Jesus, I'm doing this for you. Okay, if it wasn't for you, I'd be out of here. Okay, but because I made a vow in front of you, okay, not to you, but in front of you, God, angels, and those assembled, and we made vows, I'm going to do it. I'm going to stick in it, okay? Don't always work. I'm into my second one, right? Don't always work. But hey, there you go. We're human, right?
Yes.
Things happen.
Yes.
Life happens. Joyce Meyer say we make plans and then life happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. I don't know how many people made plans to go to the picnic this afternoon, but it's raining outside. Life is happening. In chapter 8, he speaks about Christian liberties, right? We've been set free in Christ. And with them, they're coming out from under the law. And then the societies they're around are very religious, right?
Okay.
So the unsaved folk, the pagans, are stuck in religiosity, right? And those who just come out of Judaism are coming out from religiosity as well. And so chapter 8 addresses spiritual liberty. Because Christ has set us free. I think it's John chapter 8 that says, those that the Lord sets free are what?
Free
indeed, right?
Yeah.
That word indeed means they're super free. Amen. That word indeed means that not just free, but super free, right? Really free. You can count on to take it to the bank. They are free, right? But we have to be observant of the people who are around us who may not be as spiritually mature as we are. You go into the bar to get a hamburger, you don't even drink. But homie just got saved yesterday, and he's happier than happy about it, and don't do nothing wrong no more. You know how it is when you first get saved. You don't go here, you don't go there, you don't do this, you don't do that. And what happens to a lot of Christians is when they find out they still sinners, then they got a conundrum.
Yeah.
Keelan, they'd be like, I know I accepted Jesus. I know I accepted you, Jesus. I don't know how that happened. I don't know how that happened. Well, that happened because you still have a sin nature. That happened because your flesh didn't come along for the salvation ride. That happened because when you said, I do, Jesus, that was in the spirit. You were actually, your spirit and soul was talking to God, right? Your flesh was like, I don't care what he said. I'm doing what I want to do. Okay? If I ain't going to even start naming things we do in the flesh, right? But you know the flesh, right?
Yes.
The flesh, like, I didn't get baptized. I got wet. Amen. Amen. I went down the devil. I came up with him. Amen. My soul and my spirit reconnected with God, but my flesh ain't there yet. My soul, we're being renewed every day, right? But my body getting older and older every day and ain't working right no more, right? So there's a disconnect, right?
Okay.
So even though nobody's perfect, we have folks who just got saved. They're young in the faith, okay? And so they might see you doing something that's totally okay. There's nothing wrong with it. They haven't gotten to the verse where it says, and we're not talking about things God said don't do, but we're talking about what Romans chapter 14 calls disputable matters.
Yeah.
These are things that we do that the Bible didn't say we could not do, but if you look at it on its face, it's probably not smart to do. It's probably not a good thing. Like the Lord said, never said, thou shalt not smoke cigarettes. Amen. He never said that. So it's sort of left to us to decide if we want to smoke cigarettes or not. Okay? God never said in the Ten Commandments or any of the 613 laws he gave him and rules and regulations to live for him, thou shalt not smoke. Okay? Or thou shalt not drink. But he did talk about the harm that could come from these things that we do, right? We're going to come to a verse in chapter 10 that says, do all things to the glory of God. We're going to come to another verse that says, all things are good for me, but not all things. I mean, all things are rightful, open to me, but not expedient, not good for me. Not going to. I can drink all the pop I want and then become a diabetic, or drink all the pop I want. And then people be like, oh, what's wrong with your face? Because I got bumps all over it from all the sugar, right? And I'm like, no, why, what's up? Well, I lean in to hug them. They be like, oh, no, dude, you've got something going on. Amen. So I can do it, but it might not be good for me. So I guess God expects us to use our better judgment.
Right. Okay.
Amen. To use our better judgment. So in chapter 8, it talks about being concerned about other Christians around you and how your behavior in something that's okay, how that's going to affect them, right? I guess for us, you know, this guy just left the Nation of Islam, or Islam period, right? And y'all know how they feel about pork. And you invite them over to dinner, right? Because they just got saved. You want to start a Christian fellowship up with them. But Keely, you having pork chops. So you're going to have to change that menu. Because they coming over. You ain't going to say, they just come out of a faith that says what? Pork is bad for you. It's evil. That's a sin. And now they've brought their pagan belief into Christianity.
Okay.
But Jesus says all things are to be enjoyed. Amen.
Okay.
In measure. Right? Mm-hmm. Not in excess.
Okay.
But in measure. Okay? But they don't know that yet. They haven't understood that yet. And so even though it's okay for you to do it, the Bible says, and we're going to discuss this more in chapter 10, that you're not acting in love. If you do that, okay, and their faith is hurt, their faith is stymied because of you, because of your behavior, and you're doing something that's good, thank you. It also says, do not let your good be evil spoken of, okay? And so we have to be concerned about the people around us and how we make them think, especially when you're a Christian and people know you're a Christian. They know you're a Christian in the grocery store. They know you're a Christian on your job. They know you're a Christian when you're sitting at the stoplight with your phone in your hand. The light is super green, and I'm behind you, and I have no patience. And here you are, here I am, and you're not moving. Praise the Lord. Amen. Honk the horn one time and move on. But if you got Celia in the car, you trying to get us shot. You going to get us shot. You better leave the people alone. Then for the next half hour, I got to hear about how people get shot going on. For the next half hour. And then I'll be like, Carmen? Amen. Amen.
All right.
So in chapter 8, be considerate how what you do affects other Christians and be understanding of who you're around. Okay, because God has freed us up, and a lot of things that people say are wrong are not wrong. That is what led me to studying everything God said was wrong. Because they were telling me drag racing was wrong. I'm like, seriously? So I looked through the Bible to see at least just because I was in the King James Version at that time, and I assumed Clifford would say, thou shalt not soup up thy car and go racing at the drag strip. Amen.
Come on, man.
Thou shalt not soup up thy careth and go to the drag strippeth. I mean, that's King James English, ain't it? Thou shalt not do it, that is. Thou shalt not go fastest in thy cars. But they didn't even have cars in those days. So he wasn't talking about that. Amen. But people will tell you it's wrong. Like the lady. This is the one that get me. The people who are in the same place you in, doing the same thing you doing, but because you passed the, oh, Reverend O'Rall, is that you? Well, Rebecca, is that you? You know, but you can't say nothing like that. Why? Because you Reverend O'Rall, and the rumor will go out. I was at the drag strip, and I saw Reverend O'Rall, and I said, Reverend O'Rall, is that you? Should have heard how he talked to me. Okay. Amen. So some things are not wrong, but other people think they're wrong. And we should be considerate as how we walk in our Christian liberty around other people, especially younger people. We can be doing adult stuff that they don't quite understand yet, and it's not wrong, but they don't get it. And then they'll start acting adult. Okay, but you know, me and Jesus was cracking up yesterday. I was washing dishes or something. He was cracking me up. We was talking about young people giving grown-up testimonies or young people singing grown-up songs. And there was an 8-year-old that came to First Baptist. Steve Lee, Lil Lee. He was Lil Lee then. But he could sing, right? But he was 8 years old. And guess what? He stepped to the mic and guess what he sang? I've had some good days. I've had some bad days. I looked over and I'm like, dude, she was 8 years old. And I looked at his parents like, what y'all put this boy through? I've had heels to climb. I'm like, really, where? On the playground? Trying to get up on the jungle gym? Hey, man. So, man, he was singing that song like, I'm like, but in all my good days, I won't complain. I'm like, you ain't even look. My father, we used to go up to him, Cheryl, and say, Daddy, my back hurt. He said, you ain't even got a back yet. You ain't got nothing but a gristle. Woo! That cracked me up. I'm sitting there, y'all know I'm silly. I should have never heard that, right? I'm like, oh, you had some good days. What, on the playground? And some bad days, they took your milk money. Oh, Jesus. I'm like, that's inappropriate, right? You 8 years old and had good days and bad heels to climb. Oh, Lord, I won't complain. No, you ain't paying no bills, your mom and dad doing all that. You ain't got nothing to complain about. Lord, have mercy. So we got to be careful because we, and mature Christians around immature Christians is the same thing. It's like being around kids and doing grown-up things. You know, like the Bible tells us, or like the Baptist Church Covenant tells us, we must be circumspect. Amen. And all that we do, because somebody's always watching. Somebody is always watching. And especially the people who know that you're a Christian and you're a mature Christian. They're not there yet, and so they look for a mistake to bring you down to their level. They got to bring you down to their level. You know, they don't want. I was listening to Stephen Furtick this morning. Furtick, his name is Furtick. That's what a leecher say. But I like Furtick. But anyway, I was listening to him this morning. He was talking about happiness. Amen. And that's a sermon that we all need. Not a lot of preachers preach on happiness because we talk joy, and we talk holiness. Right, but we don't hear a whole lot about happiness in the church because your happiness should come from joy.
Amen.
So, amen. So, be careful how you act around other people. Be considerate. Be circumspect. And understand, especially around pagans, people who don't believe.
Okay.
You are the only Jesus they're going to see in here. Unless Jesus get up out of heaven and come down to earth and talk to him like the Mormons say he came to America. Jesus left heaven and came to America. Yeah, you know how they found this out? An angel named Moroni told them that. I'm like, you sure his name wasn't Moron? Amen. But Moroni. I'm like, can you believe that? And it gets worse after that. Hieroglyphic plates inside of a hat, and you're reading it, but they can't see it. He's writing it. Boom, Book of Mormon. Really? That's how that happened. So God got mad. Anyway, I'm going to leave that alone. Amen. And then we come to chapter 9. We walk right in. When you come to chapter 9, chapter 9 seemed to be in there all by itself. To me, it's church fight. Okay? Because Peter and them, y'all remember Peter and James and John and that whole Jerusalem group, right?
Okay.
They had a rule, Nick. They was like, look, only those who walk with Jesus, heard all the sermons, all the Bible classes, those are the only ones that can be called an apostle of Christ. Why? Because Jesus picked them. They threw the dice and pick Matthias, right?
Right.
And so Paul and everybody who works with him is looked at with a scant eye. Left eye.
One of the group.
I was listening to her, what's her name, the other day. I miss her. I really do. That was my girl. She was wild and crazy. But I was trying to preach to her. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey man, so now we walk into chapter 9 and you're like, oh, dude, what's going on, hey mother? What's going on in here? This is a church fight. And Peter and Paul and James and John, Paul even called it out. Jesus' brothers and Peter, all y'all getting all y'all needs met through church funds. But me and my Pete, Barnabas and Silas, you know, we got to pay for our own way. Y'all wives is traveling with y'all. Y'all are traveling evangelist show. But we don't get none of them props. And so Paul brought that issue up. He brought it up with the Corinthians, but I got to believe that it was something going on inside him, okay, that he felt like, why y'all treat me like I'm the left-haired stepbrother? Red-haired stepbrother?
Yeah.
Not the left.
Green is good.
Left-haired stepbrother. One of the brothers, the bald head. Bald head, he knew now he bald head stepbrother. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's up with that? Amen. So Paul is like, why are we not treated like them? Okay? And he gave them some examples from the scriptures that God said, you shall not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the corn. Remember we read that in the Old Testament?
Yes.
It was against the rules of God that you would put a muzzle on the ox so the ox couldn't eat. That was kind of stupid too. It's like needing gas in your car but not getting it. You keep driving but you won't put gas in. That ox is not going to keep treading out the corn if you don't feed it. And so the Lord said it's not only not smart, amen, but you're going to lose your crop. Because you're going to lose your ox when it dropped dead from dehydration and starvation. So do not muzzle the ox while it's treading out the corn. He's reminding them that they have an obligation to be fair about this. You can't just have picks and chooses on people who are going to get paid and people who are not going to get paid. People who have to pay their own way while the church pays these people's way. You can't have it like that. And so an argument comes up. And Paul and God allows, because all scripture is what? Given by inspiration of God, right?
Okay.
We should not think that when they wrote, as Peter tells us, that they wrote on their own, but they wrote as they were what? Carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So if all scripture is given by inspiration of God, we know that the Lord God in heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus, allowed Paul to bring this argument up. Why? He wanted the church to know that those who work and serve in the church, those who preach, those who teach, okay, should be taken care of. Not just Terrence, because Terrence been in the church since 09, since the church was founded, and not Sarah, because she just started preaching last year. Okay? If he receives, she should receive.
Yes.
God does not have picks and choosers. And this was a big problem in the church. Along with the spiritual immaturity that's causing all the other problems they have in the church, and along with the spiritual ignorance or immaturity they have about the subjects they wrote to Paul about and actually asked him about, like he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, the first thing he says, now about the things you wrote to me about. First six chapters, they didn't write to him about that. They got snitched out by Chloe, okay? She told Paul about that. But this is stuff they wrote to him about. And apparently, this was in one of the questions. Why we don't have to take care of you, but when Peter come through here and preach, we have to take care of him. James, everybody's taking care of but you. What is this? And later on in chapter 2, some people Paul calls super apostles going to show up. These are people who are going to be telling the Corinthian church not to listen to Paul.
Okay.
Amen? Okay. And apparently somebody has spoken into their ears, you don't have to give him nothing. And so Paul is bringing this subject up, not because he wants to get paid, but because he wants the Corinthian church to be blessed. If you want your church to be blessed, you have to take care of your pastor. If you do not take care of your pastor, you can forget about your church being blessed. It will be an entertainment nightmare.
Wow.
All it will be, because if the church won't take care of the pastor, the pastor will find another way to use the church to take care of himself. Oh, don't you think that we up here are so holy that we won't steal money from God? Don't you think we so holy we will not use the authority and the inroad that God has given us into your lives, that we won't use it to get money out of your pocket to put in ours? Because we will. And we will tell you it's God's will. We won't have no scripture to cover that, but we will get you to believe it's God's will. We'll tell you. You know how we get you to believe that? God gonna bless you. I was listening to this whack job preacher one night. Oh God, he was so whack. That's why he on at night. But white people be up there. Oh, should I say that? But anyway, you know what he said? He had a letter and it had a table like this. And you know what he said he needed people to do? He wanted the Jabez prayer to work for them.
Who?
The Jabez prayer. You know, Jabez prayed, Lord, increase my boundaries and all this. He got about this much in the Bible. And he made a whole sermon out of it. Well, he came down to the end and he said, Rebecca, if you want the Jabez prayer to work for you, what I need you to do is sow $1,000 seed to pass the oath. Oh, not to the church. To pass the oath.
No.
Do you want to know how the Jabez prayer worked, don't you? Well, see, this is how it worked. I'm glad you be in church. This is how the Jabez prayer worked. If God give me a Rolex, well, guess what? He gonna give you one. If God give me a Rolls Royce, guess what? He gonna give you one. It's the boomerang effect. So, Jonathan, when you give me that $1,000, you can have it, DeSheila. When you give me that $1,000, guess what? You gonna get a red shirt. Oh, you ready to do it now, huh? You didn't know the red shirt was in it, did you? Yeah. You gonna get you some of these, yeah. But you gotta sow that seed first, so you gotta activate it, Lolo. It ain't activated. It's like a Jerry curl. You gotta activate it. But you want that baby to pop. So y'all know, right? I fell on the floor laughing. Jesus said, guess what? He on television.
Yeah.
He said, you know how much it costs to be on television to tell them kind of lies? I said, no, I don't know. At the time that I checked, because I was going to get us on there, it's $2,000 for a half hour.
What?
He was on for an hour. Jabez, bless him. No. All you had to do. Now, the other blessing was send me $1,000. And put it in the envelope. It's got to be in the envelope. You got to send it to me. If you do it by credit card, then you got to write me a letter in the envelope and send it to me. And they did it too.
Yeah.
And they put them all on the table outside in front of the church. Or something. And guess what they did? They took all them envelopes and poured them out. And they set them on fire.
Wow.
And they said, your blessing is rising up to the Lord. Your blessing is in the smoke. It is a sweet savor in the nostrils of God. You're going to be blessed. And when I looked at that table, when I looked at how many envelopes that was sent in, another nut job thing is when you look at these churches on television and you see people running up to the front row and envelopes up there. Yeah, they sowing for a blessing. Amen. Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father.
Yes.
Oh, who art in heaven.
Yes.
Oh. You know, when you get to the end, though, and it says, and I shall live in the house of the Lord forever. That's right. Okay. And I'm going to get $1,000 seed. Amen.
Amen.
So Paul is not trying to get them or to rip them off.
Mm-hmm.
He wants them to be blessed, but not that ganky blessed. Amen.
Okay.
God will bless you if you do what he tells you to do.
Yes.
It's not about the money you get.
Yes.
And so, okay, God will bless what you do.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
But if you're not doing anything, you're giving God nothing to bless. God needs something to bless.
Amen.
Are you trying to get an increase on your job?
Amen.
Well, then give God something to bless. And Pastor, how do I give God something to bless? Well, you go to Colossians chapter 3. And Colossians chapter 3, a nutshell, says when you work, don't work like you're working for them, but work like you're working for Jesus. And he will give you an inheritance.
Yeah.
That's on top of your paycheck. Amen. But the key is you got to work like you work for him and not them. It's a whole lot I did when I worked for my managers and they were over me and I was under them. But when GMO started, I found out Gerald Marshall Overall was my name, but GMO stood for God's My Owner.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. And so I started working in a way that Jesus was pleased, because I didn't have a manager to please.
Amen.
Okay, I ain't had no supervisor to please. I had Sheila, that's hard enough. But I ain't, hey man, I ain't had no. Amen. Jesus is like, there your manager is. Amen. But Jesus was my manager. Cliff, he would see a weed in the corner over there where a customer never go. I just happened to see it. So I'm going back, John, to my truck. Jesus is like, you gonna spray that weed? Brian, he like, you saw that, didn't you? I'm like, yeah, I saw that. You gonna spray it? I'm like, they don't know it's there. He like, well, what is your job? I'm like, weed control and fertilize. Like, you ain't gonna control that weed? So y'all know I went over there to control that weed. I fussed all the way to the weed there, yeah. Sprayed it, and then I fussed all the way back. And I'm like, Jesus, you do not have to be that perfect. But guess what? You know what, Daylin? Jesus didn't stop being perfect. He kept on being perfect. There's another weed over there. If you want God to increase you, remember what it says in 1 Thessalonians 4:11-12, right? Quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. You'll get the respect on those on the outside. You won't be dependent on nobody.
Okay.
You know your Christian life is really working when you are not dependent on another human being for anything.
Yes.
When Jesus is your source.
Yes.
Oh yeah, your life is on the right track.
Amen.
That is not to say that you won't need generosity from somebody else. It's not saying that. But when you know that Jesus meets all your needs, and you know that.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
You know your life is on the right track.
Thank you.
But if you call somebody on the phone and say, can you help me? And they say no. And you get mad, your life off track.
Yeah.
Your life off track.
Yeah.
If you go outside and you look at your car and you're on your way to work and you got two flats.
Yeah.
And you start throwing fits in the driveway and people cross the street say, look at John, he's just a Christian, he have no holy dad.
Amen.
They don't know you out there have to fit. But they think, oh, he is so Christian. Look at him, he's getting his hands on. Doing his thing. Amen. That's when you know your life off track. See, I found out my life was off track about money when one day, Sheila and I, we decided over the winter we would get us some snow customers. So we bought two snow blowers because, you know, stuff tear up that man makes. So you need to want to stay in business. So we decided that we would only have like 10 customers because we had a certain amount of money we wanted to make. Just get out the house. But it turned into 23 customers. Okay, so we went out there, 23 customers. Sheila was in charge of the money, went to look for the money, couldn't find it. I'm like, how in the world did you lose the money? And we in the truck, and you ain't even get out. You know, but she lost the money. I'm having to fit. I'm like, you know, you can picture it, right?
No.
Oh, it wasn't past the old. No, it was all the way back to Gerald. Amen. I was all the way back to G's, right? Not the sweet G's. Just G's. Okay? So a knock is at the door, right? And it's this little boy from the next street over. Okay? We didn't do no houses on that street. He came walking up to the door. He says, Dad told him to come to our house and to see if that's ours. And sure enough, it was all the money.
Wow.
And still in what Sheila had it in.
Wow.
And I'm like, Mackie, how did he even get this? How did he find this? I'm trying to get out, Cheryl, right? Because I know Jesus is going to attack me, right? Because I've been acting all kinds of crazy about money. He said, you got a money problem. You are covetous. You are a covetous man. And I'm like, you know, Lord. But that's when I learned. I got a money problem. I got an issue with money. I didn't know I had it. Okay, but I had it. And from that day to this one, Jesus fixed that. See, I was off track. I believed if we lost that money, somehow our life was going to fall apart. I believed it was a disaster. I believed it was a mistake you can't recover from. But Jesus had to show me that, that that was me. I love it when he showed me. You know, I love y'all, you know. But he got to show you.
Yeah.
I'm concerned about me, and I'm crapped out I am. Show me my crapped outness.
Yeah.
And then let's deal with that. And that's what Paul is trying to do, is to fix them on this money issue, especially when it came to providing for those who did the work for the Lord. I believe it's a passage of scriptures that says that you should especially take care of those pastors who preach and teach the word.
Yes.
Okay, those who work hard at preaching and teaching the word. Mm-hmm. I heard somebody say that when you come here, you don't stay the same. That means everything to me. Because that's all Jesus ever asked me about. When, if he bring one of y'all up, if he brings one of y'all up, I'll be praying, Lord, please let them be from where they were, not in the same place. Because we have to provide. All of us preachers and teachers here together have to provide a moving word, a life-changing word, a life-changing teaching. You have to get it. We can't just be trying to self-promote. We have to be about his business, teaching his word. And when people get his word, guess what? It's going to get inside of them, and it's going to do the work. See, we can sow all the seeds we want, and we can pour all the water on those seeds we want, but only God can give the increase.
Amen.
That's why all the preachers and teachers here make sure that they're planting seeds. They make sure that they're watering those seeds. And they're constantly looking, just as if you planted a plant, they're constantly looking to see, is anything sprouting?
Yeah.
My wife came home one day with a big old giant pile of dirt, and I'm like, Jesus, now what? And yeah, that's how we talk. And he said, you finna find out what? And Sheila started talking. I got these, this is elephant ears. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, where's the elephant water ear? Because she ain't got nothing but a pile of dirt. And apparently it was in the dirt. So I had to dig a big old hole, Keila, and put the dirt in the dirt. So that's the kind of stuff I be going through. And I'm out here like, Cliff, really, Jesus? I'm planting dirt and dirt. He like, tell your wife that. I'm like, I ain't talking about nothing. She already be going off. She the one got me doing this. He like, you know, you used to be sweet, Jesus. What happened to you? Every time you want to say something to her, you go outside in the back and talk to me. What's up? When did this happen to you? When did you just fall off? You used to be the man. Hey, man. Well, I got married. That's what happened. You know, then now I am the man to do this, that, and the other. Amen. But guess what, y'all? I planted those seeds. Apparently, there were seeds in that dirt. Okay? And I planted that dirt in the dirt. And then Sheila said, the instructions say, don't soak it with water, but just make sure it don't get dry. So, you know, I get the job of watering her plant. Well, she waters them. You know how she water them, Danielle? You know how she water her plants? Go outside and water my plants and get dry. Turn the water on for 15 minutes or so, they look dry. Like, they your plants. Jesus is like, once again, you're out here telling me they your plants, they ain't my plants there. Amen. Oh, please, I've been going off outside. But guess what, though? Put that water on them seeds. And one day I looked and there was a little bitty something coming up. And I said, it's a little bitty something coming up. And just, I think it was this morning, she told me, she said, it's a big ear out there. Guess who did that? God did it. All we did was what? Planted it, watered it. God gave the increase. So we preachers can preach and teach. And yes, God expects that we be taken care of. Why? Because he uses a sealer will tell you, I get up in the morning, go straight to the, sometimes we fight Not me and Sheila, me and Jesus. Because I don't want to go in there because I got to open my email and anything could be in there. You know, all kinds of requests. Mm-hmm. Rebecca, like, I want out. Anything can be in there, all kinds of requests. So I ain't opening that. And then go to Facebook and thousands. I got 4 Facebook pages. And it does not matter that one is stuff for sale. Why are you contacting me about religious stuff through stuff for sale? Come buy my tires. I got tires for sale. Come buy them. Amen. Amen. But you know, when people come like that, they want to know. They want to hear from God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They want, and they expect that you are the person on your job. Okay, you're the person. Yep. In the grocery store, when people just start talking to you,
yeah.
You're the person. Jesus is striking up those conversations in hope that you'll move it. You'll take control of it. You'll like the woman at the well. Jesus said, what did he say? Let me get some water to drink.
Yeah.
Okay, did he really want water to drink?
No.
What did he want to do?
Get involved.
Get in the conversation.
Yeah.
He was that person. That lady said, after having a good little talk with Jesus, that lady said, we know. Jesus said, you know what? She said, she said something. And Jesus said to her, that you've had 5 husbands. No, Jesus told her, go and get your husband.
Yeah.
And she just looked, John, she looked at him. You know how you look when we're guilty. We know we're guilty. Because she know the man in her house wasn't her husband. So Jesus said, go get your husband. She say, I ain't got no husband. Thought it was going to end right there. Jesus said, yeah, well, you've had 5 of them and homie at your crib right now. Ain't your husband. But watch this. She didn't get offended at all.
Right.
Mm. Not at all. She didn't even say nothing. She didn't try to defend herself. You know what she said? She said, we know that when Messiah comes, he's going to tell us everything. Yeah. Now watch this. Everybody else, demons, even warned his own disciples, don't tell nobody who I am until after I'm risen. But you know what he told this lady? I am the Messiah.
Oh, yeah.
I am the one who is to come.
Amen.
He told her, but he did not tell her to not go tell nobody.
Yeah.
And guess what she did? She got running in her feet. And she went and evangelized. Now the whole town knew her life situation because she going out here to hide at noon. And not running to anybody.
Yep.
Whole town knew how crapped out her situation was.
Amen.
But Cliff, she had a little talk with Jesus. And guess what? He made it all right. She believed that moment that he was the Messiah. Amen. All she needed to do was to hear him say it.
Yes.
The one you talking with? I'm him.
Right.
Oh, those feet got the shuffling. And she got running in her feet, took off and went to town. And watch this. She was so passionate about Jesus.
Amen. Yes, she was.
Everybody said, now, when they finally get out there and they meet Jesus, they said, we came out here, Neat, because you told us, come see a man who told me everything I ever did. It's not this the Messiah. That was her sermon.
Right.
That was her sermon. He kept saying that until they had to come out and see. They said, we came out to see because of you. But we believe because we heard him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Paul is not trying to get paid off preaching.
Yeah.
Paul is trying to straighten out a situation that's crooked.
That's right.
Paul is trying to get rid of favoritism,
right.
Picks and chooses, and to be able to have the Corinthian church blessed. Okay, because again, if a church is not taking care of their pastor, and their pastor have to do like the priest, Rebecca taught that book, Malachi, chapter 2, the priest had to leave and go out and find food because the people were bringing food to the temple. They couldn't eat broke leg lambs, diseased animals. They couldn't eat that. So they left. And once again, it's, I think it's 2 Chronicles chapter 7, the people were without a teaching priest. And when you are without a teaching priest, God troubles the people with all kinds of trouble.
Yes.
And the only way, if God is troubling you, the only way out of that trouble is God.
Yes.
And Paul does not want the Corinthian church to be troubled because they're getting involved in picks and chooses and special people. Okay? He wants them all to be blessed. And like he said, as we heard Rebecca read, he is not doing this to get paid. His joy is to be able to preach the gospel from a pure heart. A lot of preachers have trouble with that. That money get in their head, and once they get a church with a bunch of money, they start believing this is what God wants me to do. Get money, get more money, get money, money, more money. And the next thing you know, that's all they do.
Yeah.
They have entertainment on top of entertainment and got so much money, they just, but it's not what God wants. Somebody once said, since you're doing all this healing, you're such a powerful healer, and I ain't going to even name the preacher, why don't you go to the hospital and empty it out? Why are you only healing church?
Amen.
There's a lot of sick people out there. Jesus didn't heal in church.
Amen.
And if he did, they kicked him out of the synagogue. Mm-hmm. Jesus went into the highways and the hedges. Okay, I better quit because I think Sharon praying. He better come, Jesus. He better quit. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Amen. He went out to the highway and the hedges and he compelled men to come here. Amen. Not sitting around in church begging people for money. If people love, one of my pastors, Reverend Brown, if people love God, you ain't gonna have no trouble getting them to give. It's the people who have a little love for God and a little love for Jesus. And I'm gonna close with this. Jesus once told a parable, okay? And there was one man forgiving of a $10 million debt and another one forgiving of a $5 debt. And Jesus asked this question, who do you suppose loved the man who forgave them the most? And of course his disciples said, the man who owed the 10 million. And Jesus came back and said, those who love little give little, but those who love a lot give a lot.
Yes.
Those who love little do little. Those who love a lot do a lot. Yes. So it's all about us, and it's an individual. Okay. How much do you love God is going to determine how much you do for him. How much of the potential that God has placed in you, okay, is going to be based on how much you love him. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name for all that you have shared with us on today.
Yes.
We pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit does his job and we know him, we know he will, so we say thank you. That he will bring to our remembrance all these things you said to us while you spoke to us while we were in the way with you. So, Lord, help us as we leave this place, go down from this mountain and back to the Word, that we won't forget what we heard. We'll do what James said. We will read your Word, continue in your Word, believe your Word, and do what your Word says.
Yes.
So that we are blessed in every single thing that we do.
Yes.
We thank you, Jesus, for loving us the way you do.
Yes.
And we pray, Lord, that in every breath we take, every step we make, that we show some love for you. In your name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not a door off.
I'm a husband, family,
Again, let's be mindful of those to be praying for. There are two cards out on the table.
Yes.
One for Crystal.
Uh-huh.
And the other
Doors.
For Doris. So make sure you stop by and sign those cards.
Please.
Again, let's keep praying for our children, all our young people, especially those that are college bound. Alex and Nicole are going. And you parents who got kids that are soon to be making their way into adulthood, you know, with driving and graduating and all that good stuff. And please, please, please be mindful. I saw more people this week with their phones in their hands while they were driving down the street.
Oh,
you can play that 100, but that 250 don't hurt you. So,
and the 60 hour.
That'll change it. Some trash pickup.
The first time the 60 hour.
Oh,
first time is a lot more.
That'll teach you. I'm learning. Just leave it alone. We can wait till we get home. Amen. I'll see everybody.
I'm
waiting on y'all. The bosses. I say like, oh, stay on your feet. I know you need to.
Okay.
She's coming up there.
Want to sing this?
No. All right, we know this song. And when you say it, it's fast to say. It's not just the parents saying by running your mouth.
Yes.
It's a lot of people out there running their mouth from how they know Jesus.
Come on, y'all.
We don't have to run our mouths to say who we belong to. Some of us, our families, you know, all you got to do is look at each other and you see. We look like family, right?
Amen.
So we supposed to look like who when we out in these streets?
Jesus.
The only one people going to see. Need it now. We need it now more than ever.
All right, Luke. All right.
Amen.
Luke.
Help me out. Whose name do we declare?
Jesus.
Whose name do we declare?
Jesus.
Is there any other name given under heaven?
Thank you.
able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne. The only wise God be glory, majesty, dominion, and power, both now and forever. Let all God's people say.
Amen.
I love you all.